Hello, my friends, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival, and Melody Susan will join us in a few minutes. She's right now on the phone. Asked me to start the program today. I'll do my best. I'm not Melody Seastrom, obviously, and I'm not the expert in all the things that she is, but nonetheless, she'll join us in a few minutes. I don't have the markets ready because I just found out about a minute ago. I'll be doing this by myself for a while, but she'll join us. Bring us up damn sure in the markets and what's going on around the country. It is the 20th of October, believe it or not, folks. 2 weeks away. 2 weeks away from, what day we'll call it this. I know it's election day, but 2 weeks today of what? I don't know. October 20, 2020. A lot happening around the country, a lot happening around the world. And when Melody joins me, we'll get into the markets and find out what gold and silver has done today and get into some news headlines. I know that if you're out there listening to this, that you're up to date probably a lot more than, I'd say the Melody's audience and my audience on our broadcast is probably more up to date on about 95% of people in this country because they want to know what's going on and keep up with it and watch it daily. Obviously, it's still chaos in the country and around the world. Obviously, this seems like the left hand didn't know what the right hand's doing. And the news media, of course, still doesn't cover a whole lot of anything. Especially doesn't cover Biden's emails situation, with his son's email situation. It's not been mentioned anywhere that I know of on mainline media. There's a lot of things happening, folks, that we probably don't even know about yet. But there's enough that we do know about to keep us keep our attention anyway. I'm going to wait till Melody gets here before I start to end the news headlines, but I wanted to share this with you. I live in West Virginia. Most of y'all know that already. I live in a county called Nicholas County. And West Virginia is a backward state in a lot of ways. A lot of people laugh at us. They call us hillbillies if you want. That's fine. They told me that the toothbrush was invented in West Virginia because if it had been anywhere else, it would be called a teeth brush and not a toothbrush. But anyway, so we get a lot of teasing here, and that's just fine. Born and raised in West Virginia. I like where I live. Obviously, I wouldn't be here. We are a different kind of state and maybe some backward in some ways compared to other places, but I like it that way. I like the culture of this state. And one of the reasons I say that is this. Our local sheriff, I never met the man before, Sheriff Billy Nunley and his chief deputy, Deputy Paul, I can't remember Paul's last name, come by the house today. I texted the sheriff and said, "Will you mind come by? I'd like to talk to you." He come by a day, come by the home now, right here in the house, all in West Virginia, off the road a little ways. We sat on the front porch, he and I, and his chief deputy, and we talked probably 45 minutes, an hour. So pleased to know that he knows what's going on, too. The sheriff and deputy both are good, fine Christian men. They're tickled, they're thrilled to pieces that in West Virginia, we are able to own guns and carry guns without a permit, either concealed or unconcealed, makes no difference. They are thrilled that other people in this county are armed and ready to defend themselves and the county if necessary. They've been talking to people all over our county that know what's coming down, probably starting within a week and a half, 2 weeks. I think when Barrett is, Judge Barrett is confirmed, there's going to be a lot of riots in the streets. I do believe that. I really do. As a matter of fact, the Antifa and all the rest of them said they're about ready. They're going to do it if she's confirmed. We will see what happens. My whole point was this, though. It was good to have a sheriff that I never talked to before in my life. My son said he was a good man, so I thought I'd find out. To know that he is with the people and he's willing to stand with the people. That really thrilled me to pieces to know that. So I just wanted to share that. Not everything's totally bleak out there when it comes to maybe people in your local community that have some common sense, and maybe your sheriff does too. I would urge you to talk to your local sheriffs, wherever you may be. See how they feel, what they think. I'm quite certain most of them will not be as down to earth and as in tune as what ours maybe is right now, but nonetheless, I would encourage you to talk to them because if things do come apart, the sheriff's going to be the person that you're going to look to the most because he is the chief law officer in that county. Matter of fact, no other law officer in this land, from the president right on down, has any authority over a local sheriff. I want you to know that. But I just want to share that with you. But discussing the election, which is 2 weeks away from the day, and that's just hard to believe it's that close. I mean, we've been thinking about this, talking about this on this program and my broadcast for months. and months and watching things heat up and things change and the accusations flying back and forth and he's an idiot and he's a moron and just on back and forth it goes. Now we're 2 weeks away. And only God knows what's going to happen if this happens. But I do want to share some headlines about the election I think are important. And this first one said, Biden takes cautious approach ahead of second Trump debate. Now, we'll get more into the debate just in a second. But former Vice President Joe Biden is taking a cautious approach ahead of the final presidential debate against President Trump in what is expected to be one of the final turning points in the campaign. Public polls show the Democratic nominee leading in the core battleground states and running away from the president in the national surveys. Now, folks, maybe that's true where other people are. I don't know, but West Virginia in my lifetime has always been a heavily Democratic state. For the first time in, I think, 34 years this past election, this state went Republican in the House and Senate both. And I have to admit they've done some good things. They really have. But I have only seen one Biden-Harris bumper sticker in this state. Of all the, not one of any other kind of sign for Biden-Harris. I've seen dozens and dozens of yard signs for Trump and Pence. I'm amazed. Maybe the polls show differently. And from what I can see from people that's willing to put their name up and put them out in the front yards, it's about 99% in favor of Trump right now. Now, I'm sure that isn't actual figures, but that's what it looks like as far as what I'm seeing as far as signs and people saying who they support publicly. Now, again, I don't know, but it certainly does seem like that in this area it's going to be a one-sided move to keep Trump in office. And for people that are for Trump, that's exciting. If you're not, then maybe not so exciting. I still say it's a shame that the two, both of them are the best we have to offer in this country to run for office, but let's move on. According to records, about a million have already voted. Texas is leading the numbers of people who's already voted. In Florida, the Floridians are already lining up to vote and already in line. And it says that Democrats have a 74% chance of controlling the Senate. And the senior citizens are turning away from Trump. I don't know. See, these are, I don't trust polls. The last election, Hillary Clinton was going to beat Trump hands down. Remember that? She was so far ahead, it wasn't even a contest. Well, they were right. It wasn't a contest, but it wasn't in the direction that they said it was going to be. What's that mean? I really don't know what's going to happen next, in 2 weeks. I can't see in the future that far. In my opinion, Trump's going to win handily. That's what my opinion. As far as the Senate and the House goes, I couldn't tell you. There's a lot of dirt coming out in both ways with Joe Biden's son Hunter and all these with the emails and back and forth. And so I don't know. I know that Trump called Biden a criminal. He called a reporter a criminal. He called CNN dumb B words. Well, dumb bastards, what he said. And of course, he's back in the lock him all up. He's back in the same routine he was when he ran for office in 2016. He promised he's going to lock him up, he's going to shut him down, going to do this and other thing. And so far, I haven't seen any results of his promise in the first campaign to do these things. But I know that the rhetoric is still going on. I know that the harsh words are still going back and forth. And apparently, this is just going to be another... I don't know. I hope that this debate coming up is not going to be as childish as the last one. But one thing they're going to do this time, Trump and Biden will have their mics turned off or cut off during opponents' answer and final debate. So this coming Thursday, to keep either one from interrupting the other, they're going to shut their microphones off when one is answering. They're given 2-minute discussion to answer the questions or make comments. I guess that's a good idea. But I would like to thought that two adult men of the supposed to be of such high class in this country would have had the courtesy to be quiet while one speaking just to make it fair back and forth. Maybe I see it wrong way. Maybe everybody likes the fiery debates and the rudeness back and forth. I don't know. Maybe it's what people want to see. But the last time it made me think of a couple of 8-year-old boys fighting and debate back and forth, calling each other names and and calling each other liars and calling each other stupid. That's what it reminded me of. And as a matter of fact, I couldn't watch much of it. I just lost my stomach on it real quickly. I just couldn't watch very much of it because of the rudeness it seemed that both are displaying for each other and disrespect for each other. And I'm not saying that either one deserve a lot of respect, but I just thought two men of that caliber, that supposedly that caliber, would be more courteous and more thoughtful of the other to give him a chance to speak to mind back and forth and share the thoughts. But the debate's coming up this Thursday at 9 o'clock. We'll see what happens. I don't know what's going to happen after that debate. I have no idea. I just know that we're getting down to the wire. Again, from what I can see and people I talk to, and I talk to quite a few people, folks, I really do, Trump's got it cinched. From what I see, President Donald Trump is going to win hands down. That's what I see. That's what I've been told by everybody around me. I haven't spoken to one person yet who supports Biden. Now, I've spoken to people who don't support either one of them, but not one who specified I'm going to vote for Biden. Not one. Now, I'm sure they're out there, but I haven't met them. Everybody said they're going to have to hold their nose and pick Trump, but nonetheless, they will pick Trump. And if that goes in the direction that everybody thinks it will after this is done, if the Antifa and BLM all do what they're going to do after Trump's elected, it could be a very, very, very rough ride soon after the election. Only God knows that. And with the economy being the shape it's in already and the dollar actually faltering quite a bit, and I know people say, well, it isn't, but it really is. The dollar, the inflation rate, if you go to the grocery store, and I hate going to the grocery store. Marsha generally does the shopping, but she, of course, I talked about the price on different things. Food prices are really starting to go through the roof in a lot of places. Unbelievable in this area. You know, but where you are, probably the same way. And according to what I've been reading, there'll be a shortage of about 100 million meals in this country next year because of the lack of food coming into the country. The shelves, I do notice for a fact from going to the store a few times I went myself, that the shelves are not fully stocked. Even in West Virginia, they're not fully stocked. No, there's still plenty of food on there. But certain items are just not there. And they get them in, I guess, from time to time, but they're just not there. So I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I've been informed by people that were saying to know that the dollar could take a dip and a sharp dip any time now. Any time now. And that if that does, it's going to make... Well, they're discussing, of course, they reset, worldwide reset. They're discussing the fact that the dollar is going to take a drop. So the other currencies around the world. So they're going to have to do a reset. I don't know exactly how that's going to work. I know it's going to cut people's earnings about 2/3. And I happen to know personally that that'd be a tough time for me to pay my bills only with 2/3 of what I'm 1/3 of what I normally bring in. I expect to be for most of y'all too. Back to the election, I thought this article was kind of telling and kind of sad. U.S. police chiefs grapple with new election day threat. Armed men at the polls. This is the United States of America. For 220 or 30 years, we went through elections without a whole lot of violence. This one could change everything. Second Amendment advocate Justin Hall of Roanoke stands guard with his firearm. He has a picture of this guy standing with an AR with his firearm near the Smith County Courthouse in Marion, Virginia, and its nearby Confederate statue on July 3rd. Now, he was there not for election, obviously, but guarding a statue. And I understand rioters can tear him down with no consequence. I expect people will get tired of this and will start standing guard over what they think to be important property to them. But says the summer months were unrelenting for John Clare, a police chief in rural Virginia. Clare's normally sleepy town of Marion was the site of two Black Lives Matter protests where heavily armed militia members showed up in droves alongside other counter demonstrators and engaged in tense standoffs with protesters. People will call me up and ask how I'm doing, Clare reported. And what I'd say is, I'm dealing with the most complex leadership challenge of my career, the midst of the most widespread social crisis in 100 years. But other than that, I'm doing okay. Claire is now grappling with a different kind of leadership challenge, Election Day. He spent the past 4 weeks trying to figure out how to provide security at the polls amid the threat of armed troublemakers without scaring away the kind of voters who might be put off by the sight of uniformed policemen. I feel like I'm walking on the edge of a razor blade, Claire said in an interview. I feel like I'm walking on the edge of a razor blade. That's more or less what the sheriff and the sheriffs said today. They know that they are the so-called thin blue line. And they're concerned, heavily concerned. They're both very thankful they will live in a rural community in a state where people are somewhat on the normal side and will not tolerate all this insanity. As a matter of fact, the sheriff said today that he knows if he had called five deputies to stand in a certain area, that 50 other people would join him in a heartbeat. And he also mentioned if he had to, he could deputize the whole county. I'm very thankful to have Sheriff Sheriff Nunley in this our county. I'll be supporting him in the polls come next Tuesday. He's a man of integrity, a man of honor, a man that is not afraid to speak his mind, and not afraid to confirm what he sees going on is wrong. Not just with Antifa and the election, but morality it concerns him. He says it's the insanity of our nation. Immorality is unbelievable, and of course it affects his job more than ever before. You know, he only has, I think, 18 deputies for the whole county, and six or eight of them are on full-time duty other places. So, spread very thin, trying to keep things running in this country, in this county. Some communities in this area have already started patrols at night, civilian patrols, watching, keeping their eyes open, knowing that things could change in a heartbeat from a very peaceful area to a very violent area. Hopefully it won't happen here. I'm sure it's going to start in places like Seattle and Portland and other places around the country, maybe Washington, D.C. and other big cities. It could spread to our small state eventually. But it's good to know the man like Sheriff Nunley's on the job here in Nicholas County, West Virginia. And folks, I do encourage you to speak to your sheriffs. Get to know them. Talk to them. Share some things. If this happens, folks, remember, think about this. Financially, it's going to affect you. If things start coming together and fall apart, it's going to affect all of us financially. That's why Millie Seastrom is doing her best to get us to understand that if we all we have in our possession is paper, whether it's paper money or paper assets of any kind, we have no security at all. The only real security is something tangible like gold and silver. And she's been sharing this interview for years, and I wholeheartedly support her in that. I truly do. Well, I hear break time coming on, so we're back after break. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
It's a mad, 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 mad world. In France, the girls wear scanties, but on lamb chops, they put panties. I'm telling you, it's a mad, 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 mad world. A Japanese named Louie says the Chinese hate chop suey. Without a doubt, it's a mad, 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 mad world.
Think we might get in trouble for that?
Welcome back.
Is that politically correct to play in this world today?
Nothing today is politically correct. But anyway, go ahead.
I know. Hey, sorry about the being late today, Butch. We had a package. I mean, this is the first one, and I still think it's on its way. But, oh, my gosh, it's just, you know, when things flow smoothly, everything's great. But you get that one itch that you just can't scratch, and it just drives you crazy. But anyway, you didn't get to go through any of the gold prices today.
No, I did
so
not. I didn't have
it
ready because I didn't know you were going to make me stand up on my own 2 feet and say something.
There you go.
See,
I was testing you. See,
you're my security blanket.
Oh, well, you're mine. Anyway, gold
right.
Today is also all of our security blanket. We have gold up $7 today at $1,911. Silver's up 38 cents at $24.83. Platinum was up 19 at $881. And palladium was up $64, $2,439. The USDX today was down 0.36 at 93.08. Crude oil was up 68 at 41.51. And the paper markets today, they were all kind of happy. The Dow was up 113 points at 28,308. The NASDAQ was up 37 points, 11,516. S&P was up 16 at 3,400. And 43. Ooh, the 10-year yield up 0.80%, or at 0.80%, up 0.04. European Asian markets were fairly quiet. Germany was down just a little under 1%. You know, so it's, I don't know, Butch, I'm sure you already talked about the elections.
I mentioned quite a few things going on there, yeah. Yeah, I have.
I'm not going to ask
what you like
to to update me what you talked about.
Well, different issues. I mean, there's a lot of things happening with that. A lot of debates back and forth, a lot of things, you know, being discussed. Of course, they're going to make sure the mics are off of the speaker that's not speaking at the, so this time they can't interrupt each other at the debate. And yeah. You know, so, and they said according to the poll, Biden has a pretty good lead in some places. But I'm telling you, Melody, at least in our area, everyone I talked to, and all but one sign I've seen, which is a little bumper sticker, all the yard signs are here are Trump and Pence. Start with my neighbor next door up here, right up the highway and down the highway. I haven't seen one Biden sign anywhere. And they say Biden's holding a pretty good lead in some areas. He may be, but it's not showing here. That's a fact.
Well, you know, it's interesting because watching some of the news programs this morning, they actually changed their tune a little bit. Because I listen to all the programs, they changed their tune a little bit to "It's a close race." They weren't talking anymore how the wide and how Biden had overtaken Trump in so many areas and so forth. They were talking as a close race. So, I mean, I just really don't know. And we're just going to have to wait until the elections get here to see what happens. But it's interesting. It's by all rights, you would think President Trump would lose if you... And I get accused a lot of listening to the mainstream media. I don't. I listen to a lot to what Trump says, what President Trump actually says. And I listen to a lot of it, not just sound bites from a favorite network. I listen to all of it, and a lot of it I do, it puzzles me. And I don't want to hear that, you know, we didn't elect him because of his personality. It still raises big questions. And if we go back and, I mean, I agree with a lot of things that he's done in the past. Some of the things I think he gets credit for weren't really big deals. I mean, the biggest deal that I think he did was the tax cuts. And that's only increases our debt. It really doesn't help this nation. It's a temporary fix, just like Washington is used to giving. I'm not quite sure how many of those alligators were thrown out of the swamp. And I really do tired of lock them up, lock her up, lock him up.
He's saying that again.
I know. And it's just like, hey, do these people deserve to be in jail? Probably. But I guess everybody has... You know, last time I thought if you're in for law and order, you have to go through the process, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to get off on that. So it is a sad place that we're in to see the two that we have. I don't know. You know, I mean, certainly I do hope President Trump wins over Biden. I mean, that goes without saying. But eventually you're going to get all Democrats in there and we're going to be right back where we were. So,
well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I tell the folks too that, our local sheriff, Sheriff Billy Nunley here in Nicholas County, West Virginia, I never met the man before, but my youngest son knows him quite well, said, Daddy's a good man. Need to talk to him. And, so I did text the sheriff yesterday. He came down by my house today, the only chief deputy, and we sat on the front porch and talked for a good hour. He very much knows what's going on. He's very much concerned about what's happening. And he thinks, you know, by the grace of God, we live in a rural community in a state where it's somewhat normal. Don't think we won't be bothered right away, but he is aware. He said people all the county have stopped him and talked to him. He's held meetings in churches that have helped him understand about arming themselves in the churches. He's very much on our side, Melody, and he's a Christian, too, a solid Christian. Then he and the chief deputy both are men that I was honor to talk with. So it's good to know. I encourage people to talk to the local sheriffs. See what they think. If things get a little tough, where will they stand? So I just want to share that. To me, it was encouraging to speak with our sheriff and know that he's solid. It does make you feel a little better to know that at least one person out there will say in law enforcement is going to stand for the people. That makes you feel pretty good.
Yes. And you know what, Butch? Maybe there's not going to be anything that everybody's talking about.
I pray so.
You know,
I mean, pray
everybody's
that our
talking
prayers are
about
heard.
It, but yet again,
I pray so.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like you know, going to war with China. I guess you'd like to think that stronger heads prevail. That anyway, it's something
well,
I don't
that,
want to discuss
why
on this program.
That's
why
I hope. Been a lot of
moment.
Prayer going up across country. I know that on the 31st this month, I Stan Johnson on last night from the Prosty Club. They're having a prayer meeting in Topeka, Kansas. I would like to go myself if at all possible. I'm going to see what I can do about that. But they're going to get together as a group of people and pray that the Lord will bless us, repent of our national sin. That's the Lord to help us, give us a reprieve. And if he does, that's wonderful. And if he doesn't, well, then we'll cross the bridge and get to it. But I know a lot of prayers going up. The Lord may intercede in this, and I pray he's heard our prayers. I truly do, Melody, because I don't want to see anything happen. I don't want to see anything happen. I really don't. I'm a very peaceful guy. I don't like to see anything happen come together. But we'll see. It's only 2 weeks away. 2 weeks from the day, actually. So we're close.
Well, and you know what's interesting? I don't know if we should be talking about this on the you know, folks, I'm on Europe, you know, I get accused of all kinds of things, and I'm not. I mean, it's so, what else you got to talk about? And we'll talk about
Well, I got to talk about it. I do want to share this, too. I got an email last night. That's one off the air. But this kind of case I want to talk about here today and the situation in our country. It's from Norway. And it said, Dear Pastor Butch, below is a transcribed portion of the radio program aired last weekend. I wrote it down and thought you might, thought you, everyone who is praying for revival in your spacious country, your precious country might be so interested in reading this true story. I like the way he said, in your precious country. This is from Norway now, mind you. And it makes you feel good that people around the world, Melody, are also thinking about our country and praying for us. Isn't that beautiful?
It is.
You know, that gives you a little bit of a ray of hope in your heart, and a little bit of cheer and a little bit of joy, knowing that we have people that actually care all over the world. That makes me feel yes, and we got our first donation ever from France a couple of days ago, a fairly solid donation for the ministry. So there are people out there that are actually listening and caring all over the world. It's amazing they listen to this hillbilly, but they do, and they really care. But I want to share that. I just want to give everybody that little bit of an uplift about the sheriff I talked to and about this email I got from Norway. People around the world are watching America. America has been the kind of beacon on the hill for a lot of years, Melody, a lot of, kind of showed the way for a lot of the world. I pray we can maintain that respectful position for a while longer. You agree?
I agree.
Now, this is kind of hard to believe. OPEC. I never thought I'd ever see this. OPEC is on the brink of a crisis. OPEC. The oil producing countries around the world are on the brink of a crisis. I never dreamed I would see this. I mean, really, with the price of oil in the last 40-some years and the oil shortages and the prices going through the roof. So the OPEC plus member countries are on the brink of a financial crisis if the latest assessments of the International Monetary Fund are accurate. The IMF has presented a very bleak outlook for an economic recovery in the Middle East and Central Asia, predicting a 4.1% contraction for the region. Not growing, but contraction. The main driving factor behind this bearish outlook is IMF's forecast of oil prices will remain in the $40 to $50 range in 2021. Extension of the current low oil price environment for another year would badly hurt oil and gas exporting countries, which includes all of the OPEC plus members. You know, Melody, that is a huge statement. I mean, OPEC, I mean, these people have raked in trillions of dollars over the last 40, 50 years, and now they may be having to cut back, and they're hurting because the price of oils went down. I do know that the price of fuel going down has benefited some companies because they can afford to buy fuel for the machinery, the trucks, whatever. But OPEC has actually said it's on the brink of a crisis. And who knows where this could lead. The financial crisis in OPEC is huge. I never thought I'd ever hear that. Did you?
Well, I mean, we're certainly seeing changes. And, you know, it's just part of the process. Just part of the process. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's just as much disruption and division in OPEC as there is everywhere else in the world. So it really doesn't come to that much of a surprise. I mean, so it's just, you know, is that it's happening now, I suppose.
Well, you know, and poverty in any country, whether it's OPEC nation or whatever, if the funds go down and the people have a hard time making it, governments get desperate, and that actually has helped cause some wars in the past. You know that. And areas like the Middle East are right now on edge. I mean, Iran is threatening to make moves against the U.S. U.S. is threatening to sanction Iran some more personally. We're seeing a lot of things happen over there. So this could add a lot of tension to the situation if governments become desperate for money flow. They might look at their neighbor's assets. You never know. It's happened before, hadn't it?
It has. So, I mean, look at Venezuela. What do you think happened to them?
Yes,
you know, they fell apart with the, you know, when oil prices dropped in 2015. So that's when it really came undone. So that's what it does to a nation. You bet.
You know, when you think about as we said many times in this program, our whole world is interlinked in some way or another. I mean, financially for sure. All the global banks are connected to each other and work together for different reasons. We needn't kid ourselves in thinking that any war anywhere is not going to affect us, because it is. It's going to affect us. And I was just talking a little bit ago before we come on the air with this about the inflation rate. I don't know how it is where you live, Melody, but food prices are really taking an upturn in our area. I don't shop. I hate shopping. Marcia, my wife, does shop, and she's bringing back to me what's going on and what the cost of things are. And food prices are really going through the roof. And inflation is really something that's really real. A few years ago, and I used to, before I tried to watch my diet, I used to stop and get a biscuit and gravy when I drove through Tudor's Biscuit World. It was 99 cents for biscuit and gravy. Well, that same biscuit and gravy today is $2.98. I don't buy them anymore because I can't eat them. But 99 cents to $2.98, that's quite an increase over the last, six, 7 years. That's quite a jump, is it not?
It is.
So for a buck, you can buy one. Now it takes $3 to buy it. Folks, think about that. That means that the dollar's dropped two-thirds in value against a biscuit and gravy. It's dropped two-thirds in value against a biscuit and gravy. So please don't think that this is dollar's good and sound. It's okay. We're going to be all right. It isn't. It's shrinking every day. People get the idea that if we don't collapse overnight and everything just doesn't go to heck overnight, that it's not happening. Folks, it is happening. A two-third drop in it. Let's say it's been 10 years. That hasn't been long. Let's say it's been 10 years. A two-third drop in the dollar value against a biscuit and gravy. Two-thirds. Now that is huge, and that affects a lot of people's pocketbooks. If you go in the grocery store, the price of groceries, I know, probably went up as much as the biscuit and gravy did. Any comments on Beldy?
No, I mean, we know inflation is here, and it just keeps, it's the little frog in the boiling pot.
Sure.
Nobody seems to notice. You know, a lot of people just think that it's prosperity that makes these prices rise, and that's just not true. It might have some impact, but not in today's world, not with what's going on now, absolutely not. It's monetary. Monetary is given our inflation that we see today. And, you know, it's just, you know, we relate it to food and things like that. But, you know, and if you go into the holidays and, you know, you might go online and you might, you know, maybe get a decoration or two or a gift or two or something. And then you look at the price at the total. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
What little you get.
It is amazing. And it's not because of supply and demand. The supply is any less. Demand's not any more. It's the dollar's worth less. That's all.
Oh.
You know, and speaking online, looks like this year is going to be a record year for Amazon and the companies. Record years. Oh, there's music again.
It is. You always hear it first. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. You're listening. I'm going to survive. Oh, tell me again tonight.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Someday somebody's gonna make you wanna turn around and say goodbye. Say goodbye. Until then, baby, are you gonna let him hold you down and make you cry? Don't you know, yeah. Things will change, yeah. Things will go your way if you hold.
Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
Yeah, buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. There's going to be a ride. We didn't know we'd make it as a younger generation, but that's a joke. But Butchie didn't laugh.
The younger generation, I forgot what that was.
Well, I mean, me being 39.
Okay. I understand you were just young about 10 years ago, but
I know.
I just see you dancing in your seat there. But anyway, a little bit of different music sometimes is kind of nice.
Yes, it is, and we thank Todd for that.
Absolutely.
Our great producer of the program.
Let's not get
carried
away.
But you know, everyone can be replaced by a robot. You know, and there was an article out here by Bloomberg, and they talk about how the advances in automation technology.
Yes, yes.
And we've been talking about this for a long time, how it's, you know, going to threaten a significant share of jobs and industries, accounting for nearly a quarter of the global workforce. There was a report released today, economists Ziad Daud and Scott Johnson said that could mean as many as 800 million people. 800 million people face a higher exposure to the risk of their employment becoming obsolete. Now, it's interesting because it's the Gulf Cooperation Council, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Japan are most vulnerable to disruption from automation. So maybe with this automation, maybe the United States won't be as impacted because we've already lost all of those jobs. So, and I can't imagine that, you know, they would come here. I mean, if they're replacing those jobs with automation, I don't think factories would come here just so they can hire people. But maybe we won't be impacted as much because we've already lost those jobs. So, which means...
I guess that's a good way to look at it, I reckon. Yeah, we don't have them anyway. We can't lose them.
We can't lose them. We've already lost them. But which means... the negative part means that manufacturing is not coming back.
Yes.
At all. So, you know, so that means the life that people once had that, you know, couldn't get a college education and... you know, could work at one place in a factory and have a good wage, medical care. That's not coming back. So, anyway, I thought that was, kind of interesting that, again, we continue to hear about the impact of technology. And yet,
yes.
What do we as a people do? We embrace technology.
We do.
We keep buying the crap, and they take our money so they can continue to do what they're doing. You know, we support them. It's just like China. You know, they exported our inflation so we could buy their cheap trinkets. And look what happened to us. While we're buying their cheap trinkets, you know, they're increasing their presence in the world. They're increasing their military to, you know, as powerful as ours or close to it. And everybody could say, oh, they're not, they don't have the same military, technology as we do. Why not?
We don't know that.
I mean, hey, you have all of these companies that are making things in China. Supposedly, they're stealing all this, technology. So, but that's what we did. It's kind of like, we're our worst, we're our worst enemy to some degree.
But, we cut our own throat.
Yeah.
Talking about technology and products coming from overseas, here locally there's an appliance dealer that I do business with from time to time. Very nice young couple runs it. Went in the other day, I had to get a washer repaired in a mobile home we have. And the co-owner, the wife, said that they encourage people not to buy the new appliance. Matter of fact, they don't stock very many new appliances. They rebuild the old ones, the mechanical type, give them a full-year warranty, the same thing they get on a new appliance, a full-year warranty. But if they break, they can fix them. With the new ones, now this is what she said, they're made to last about a year, and a component burns out on it, and the component costs as much as the washer did, so it's a throwaway wash machine. That's what I was told, and she's right. It is right. A year, year and a half, maybe 2 years max of a brand new washer, you get the same deal out of a used one. They can fix them, repair them when they break. They're not as fancy. They don't have all the gizmo on them, but they're not electronic, so they're all mechanical, and they can be fixed. But she said, we highly discourage you from buying anything new. We get the same warranty on a used one that you get on a new one, and we can fix them. Now, that's a sad state of affairs.
We've been living in a disposable society for a long time, though.
We certainly have.
We've been seeing this, with everything from our automobiles and, our appliances, our homes. It's just a disposable, We'd sooner dispose of it and buy new than keep what we have, buy something. And that's quality. We've given up also the quality to buy things at a cheaper price. It's part of the trinket stuff that we buy from China. Lower price, less quality. I even hear it in the, in the gold and silver business. Well, I don't want that. It costs me more. But it's got more, the gold isn't anymore, the gold isn't better, but it does give you a different advantage. Oh, I don't know. So it's, it's interesting how we've, come to, and me too, I'm including myself in the basket of, how we think and so forth, but, we tried to save a dollar, and something it used to be we tried to save a penny, and it cost us a dime.
Yeah, it is. I remember an appliance and refrigerator used to last 10, 20 years. That's not even more. That just isn't true. But back to another situation here. The Illinois has been run by Democrats for a lot of years, and Chicago is one of the worst places in the world to live. Matter of fact, I had a phone call yesterday. A couple from Chicago, actually four people, I think it is, I want to move in our area to get out of Chicago. They said this dangerous. It's not a good place to be. So they're moving to West Virginia, believe it or not. And the sheriff said today that a lot of people are moving to West Virginia to get where they have rights to keep and carry bear firearms and to feel somewhat as a safe and independent people. And that's good. We need the people. We ain't got me in half of the whole state, so we can use them. But they are looking for places to go. But Democrat-run Chicago broke as Mayor Mall's tax hikes. The governments don't go broke, folks. They just raise our taxes and layoffs to plug $1.2 billion budget gap. Now, listen to this, because this is so sad. The people bear the brunt of the mismanagement of funds every time. And let's face it, the people that get the paychecks and the huge retirements love it until it ends. In a sign of where the entire country could soon find itself, repeat that, in a sign where the entire country could soon find itself, the Democrat-run city of Chicago just isn't facing soaring violent crime, but staring down a whopping $1.2 billion budget deficit. Naturally, the response to what some are already excusing as the city's coronavirus-fueled budget deficit is the mayor, Lori Lightfoot, who immediately talked talk massive tax hikes to plug the hole. You see, folks, the way it works is they take your money to plug the hole in their budget while making a hole in your budget. That's how they do it, see. That's how it works. You got a hole in your pocket, they patch theirs. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is considering a $94 million property tax increase. $94 million. Layoffs for more than 300 city workers and a gas tax hike is part of their plan to close $1.2 billion budget deficit, sources told the Tribune, the report says. She's expected to present her plan on Wednesday, which is accounting to a summary in Fox and Chicago Tribune to additionally include a five-day furlough, and listen to this too, for all non-union city employees. They can't touch unions, folks. Another socialist move. All non-union city employees, shifting some costs onto the books of Chicago Public Schools, including asking Chicago Public Schools to reimburse city for $40 million more in school pension contributions. They want to reimburse pensions. Now, this is what I'm saying. Raising the cloud computing tax, up to 350 layoffs of civic employees, possible $77 million in cuts to unfilled positions, and more than 1,000 vacancies. The problems had been building for years, given already the city was strapped with a $46.5 billion in unpaid bills and only a reported $10 billion cash on hand, based on a damning review of the city's financial release December by Truth in Accounting. Chicago is only doing what governments do, whether it's city governments, state governments, it makes no difference. They do what they do. They cover their butts by taking away your assets. They plug their holes and they make one in your earnings. And people getting fed up. This they're leaving these places. Like the folks will move out of this area, down this area. It's happening. People's really happening. I mean, in New York, Greenwich home sales have best quarter in a decade as New York City exodus continues. And it says the single family home purchases were up 70% in the third quarter. In Greenwich, because people are leaving the city and moving out. Melody, what that means is they're leaving the city and going to Greenwich, but the city is losing, does it not?
It does.
They're losing. New York's going to be a ghost town. It already is compared to what it was just a year ago. This is America today. You can blame on coronavirus if you want to, but folks, it's inevitable. It had to happen sooner or later. You can't keep spending away in the profitability. You cannot go in debt, become profitable. It doesn't work that way. But the government hasn't learned that yet, because they can come to you and say, listen, we're going to raise your gas tax. We're going to raise your income tax. We're going to raise your property taxes. What are you going to do about it? Well, we could do something about it if we all stood together, but that isn't going to happen. So we just sit back and say yes, sir, and shut up and do it. Just keep on plugging along. That's what we do. Any comments, Melody?
No, I agree. But, you know, and I guess now it's being a little more focused on, because I guess now they can blame D.C. and so forth for not getting money and so forth to help them through the COVID and so forth. But this has been happening longer than COVID. I mean, we've seen the decay of our infrastructure for how long? I mean, look at our airports.
Oh, years.
I mean, airports. If you talk to, 8 years ago, I talked to a pilot and the stewardesses. We were on the flight attendants. I'm sorry. Showed my age there. Flight attendants on a little, you know, train to throughout the airport we were at. And they were making comments about they hated the fly. It was the Dulles, Washington Dulles. They hated the Reagan Dulles or whatever it is, the D.C. Dulles airport. They hated flying in there. They thought it was disgusting compared to all the other airports around the world. I fly into Philly a couple of years ago. It's just filthy, dirty. Yeah, it doesn't take a whole lot to take a mop and to clean. You'd be surprised how much nicer things would look if they were cleaned.
I agree.
So, yeah, I mean, our roads, my gosh, I drive through Lancaster, Pennsylvania, through the city, and it's like, oh, my gosh, I think by the time I drive through the main town, the center city, I think my car is going to fall apart because the road is so bad. But this has been going on for years, and it's just not what I experienced. It's everywhere. And I'm used to living in Arizona. When I moved to Arizona, it was new. Everything was being built. Everything was brand new. You know, I don't know if it's still like that in Phoenix. I mean, there's a lot of money in there, so maybe. You know, maybe they kept it up a little bit better than some of these cities like, you know, Chicago and Baltimore and so forth, and Philly, the Eastern. But, and yeah, Butch, they're all run by Democrats.
They are. They are. Well, look at Denver. The mobs defaced the Capitol building in Denver. They didn't even bother cleaning it up. It still got words all over it and nasty words on it, different things where they defaced it right in the Capitol building. And they haven't even bothered cleaning up or painting over it. What's that tell you about a nation and a city? There's no one seems to care anymore.
No.
As a whole. They don't.
Yeah. Well, you know, the politicians are too busy running their campaigns all the time.
We're raising taxes.
Raising taxes and raising money. So,
that's,
anyway, it's not a news story.
True.
It's not new.
No.
It's been going on for a long time.
It's just getting,
and, you know,
it's just getting worse.
Yeah,
getting
they kept worse. Us busy. They kept us distracted. They kept us busy.
Well, it's getting worse. As you said, it's been going on for decades, not just the last 20 years. It's been going on for a long time. If you travel at all, you see it. You know, the downtown in larger cities, any city probably, but in downtown areas, that what used to be decent areas to be businesses, whatever, and now look like slums. And that's just the way it is. Homeless people live in the streets. Even in Charleston, West Virginia, homeless people pushing carts all the place, you know, buggies all the place, full of stuff, their goods, sleeping on the streets. That's happening everywhere now.
Yeah.
In the downtown area, although Charleston's got some places to still try to keep it up, but the side streets, you can see the wear and tear, the lack of concern. That's just the way it is. You know, like it or not, that's what America's become. If we don't turn around, we'll be a third world nation all over the place.
Hey, I hear the music before you did today, Butch. Hey, and thank you for joining us, everyone. Please join us tomorrow. Until then, be safe. Good night, and God bless.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.